Blog Talk Radio.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين آمين.
الحمد لله رب العالمين. Assalamu alaikum, this is your brother Khalid, and you're on A Conversation with a Purpose on station IWTM. With me are my brothers and my friends, your brother and your friend, Akhtab. Assalamu alaikum, Akhtab.
Wa alaikum assalam, Khalid.
And we got my brother, our brother, Haleem Qudus with us too. Assalamu alaikum, Haleem.
Wa alaikum assalam, my brother. How are you this evening?
Alhamdulillah, I'm doing fine and look forward for greater achievements for our community and humanity at large. And tonight I think we have a pretty good program. If you got our announcement, we're going to speak once again and a lot of times in the future about the book, Economic Resurrection. The website is out. We're going to tell you about it and some other activities concerning business achievement and getting an economic foundation for our community, for our families, and for a lot of people, let's put it that way. But we also our guest tonight is the author, the educator of our community. His name is Jamal Rashid. He's going to be calling in at the 8 o'clock hour, East Coast time. So with another hour in, inshallah, we'll bring in Dr. Jamal Rashid. I look forward to having him once again on A Conversation with a Purpose and to hear what he has to say, and we can ask questions of him, and he'd be ready for us, inshallah. And we also want to talk about the 10-day challenge. The 10-day challenge is coming up, the 10-day challenge to eat real food, breaking the addiction to junk and processed food. We promised you to have a book out. It's still in the making. And, as the saying of the prophet goes, when a Muslim does something, he does it to perfection. So we're trying to perfect this particular information packet, booklet, it's an e-book, and we're working very hard on it. Your brother sometimes, I got to tell you, a couple days ago, I got, what do you call it when you're faced, you want to write something, but you get a mental block. I had a mental block and got busy and couldn't really do what I wanted to do with it, so it's taking a little bit more time than I wanted to do. But believe me, I think it'd be something worthwhile of your time to take a look at it, to accept the challenge, to learn about what's going in your mouth, learn about the trick and the game and the unethical game and the immoral, really repulsive. Strategies that some food companies in the food industry will play on us and making real junk food, real wasteful products for your consumption, make it very available for you to take. So that's important to know, but more important to me is to gain this knowledge, gain a little, not a lot, it's just a simple thing to do. Take it on your own, to look it on the internet. Thank God for the internet. So much information in my research, okay, so rewarding, so exciting. I want to share with you about it. And for you yourself to take a look for yourself and take a very serious look into that. So that's the 10-day challenge we're talking about. But for right now, we're going to go to our brother Haleem. He has a lot. This brother, I tell you, he's been blessed to make friends overseas. He's been blessed to have this business passion and share knowledge on how we can gain success, put some money in our pockets, and take care of the bills that we have that life brings us. A whole lot of things, you know, this Muslim American Chamber of Commerce, excellent initiative, and something that we really need support. So, Helene, I'm calling you,
brother. Yes,
share what happened this week. You know, you've been meeting some people. You tell me that there was some delegation from the country of Mali. You're gonna meet with them pretty soon, and some more on book and share that website, other book with us too.
Okay. Assalamu alaikum, my brother, and thank you. Inshallah, Friday I'm meeting with a delegation from Mali, and we're going to look at some business ventures. And I was called by a brother, and they were interested, and the people, the delegation from Mali, he had told them about the Muslim American Chamber of Commerce, and they were interested and knowing more about it. So, inshallah, we'll meet, and I'm looking forward to meeting with the delegation and seeing things that we have in common and what we can do to try to reach our economic destiny. I want to bring out a point. I was reading earlier today in the Imam's book he put out about Islamic climate for business success. And he had a subtitle that wealth must circulate. And he says in the Quran, Allah does not only point to the importance of business life, but he also gives guidance for it. Conduct the business interest in a way that prevents wealth from being monopolized. And he said, see that it circulates. You know, and it just when I was reading this, I was thinking about the economy and the task that our president is dealing with in trying to get the 1% of the people who they say that have the majority of the wealth to circulate the money, and so that it's not a monopoly and everybody can benefit from it. But because he's who he is, he's having a lot of trouble getting that idea across to the people. And it's something, it's ironic how today I was looking through this book and I seen this this part of the chapter in there, where it talks about the society and being oppressed by a few strong, powerful business people. You know, we really have to look at that and look at what we can do to help this president with the bout that he has to try to help us gain economic dignity. And respect.
Yeah.
So as you so beautifully pointed out, my new book is out, Economic Resurrection, or our new book is out, and we do have a website up now, in the www.economicresurrection.com, where you can it's a small newsletter there, and you can also purchase the book from there.
That's excellent. I saw the website. It's a beautiful website. It's really tight, in my opinion, and I don't think I'm biased not only that. I'm just calling it like I see it. And, you know, we want people to take a look at it and share it with their friends. We'll make this thing grow, you know, so get that knowledge, you know, get that motivation. Because we talked earlier about the plantation, the ghost of the plantation spirit. And I remember Imam Muhammad was saying, you know, 99% of us, the spirit's been knocked out of us to really go for self, do for self. and our minds have been manipulated and conditioned to let other people handle business that we should be handling ourselves. So this is a great opportunity to take this step forward. And, you know, I talk to people, sometimes their eyes go half closed, and you just see they're not really interested. But they're wrong, and they're self-defeating. You know, they're already defeated. And I don't want to join a camp like that at all, you know. But I do want to tell my brothers and sisters that we sort of step lively, you know, to gaining economic dignity. It's a shame about businesses, the lack of businesses in neighborhoods. It's a shame of some of the stories I hear about the parents would pass away and they leave the house to the children, and the children don't. The mortgage already paid for the house, but the children, for some reason, they don't take up responsibility of paying taxes. They keep that, you know, $500, maybe $2,000, maybe $300, don't know. So they don't pay the taxes, and the city goes and takes the house away. And you just see a boarded up house in the neighborhood, which is another dangerous. But, you know, ignorant stuff, stupid stuff, and not being neglectful of the duties. So we don't have to go through that. That's my point.
Yes, you're 100% right. We don't have to go through that, and you know a lot of stuff with the, especially like you were saying with the houses, a lot of that is a lot of people don't have to lose their house, but not being informed of the proper steps that you have to take to stay in it, because of lack of knowledge. You know, they say the people perish, so because of lack of knowledge, they don't know what to do to stay in the house. So, you know, that's part of our job. The ones of us that know have to inform the ones that don't know. You know, it's like the Honorable Elijah Muhammad said, with the job of a civilized matter. If you have knowledge, you're supposed to share that knowledge with people that don't. If you're civilized, then you have to teach civilization to the uncivilized, which is basically the same thing. You know, you're sharing things with people, and through that communication, a lot of people can be helped in situations that they have, because a lot of times there are solutions that the people are just not aware of. You know, in regards to the book, let me tell you about this incident that happened over the weekend. I had one of the guys that worked with me, he was out Sunday, and he was giving out flyers for the book. And he ran into this reverend. His name is Reverend Jackson. And the reverend, he gave him the flyer. And the reverend called me. He didn't get me at the time, but he left me a message that he liked the title of the book, that he wanted to get a book, and that he has a YouTube program and a Facebook program that he does. And he says he would like to interview me for the program. So when I called and I reached him, I told him where he can purchase the book at, and he went and he picked up a book. Now, he called me back. He also texted me. And on his, and I'm gonna read a little bit of his text. He says, "Hi, I am Reverend Jackson. I would like to interview you about your book, Economic Resurrection, and you know, on his YouTube channel." And then, now this was on the 15th. Now, today, this morning, he had just about finished reading the book, and he wrote me again, and he says, "Mr. Caduce, I am reading the book called A Source of Inspiration, which gives me energy." You know, and I really felt, and when I spoke with him, he told me that he finished the book, and it was a great book, and he feels like it's something that not only should be read in the United States, he said, but the world needs to hear the message that's in the book. And, you know, I was really touched by what he said.
And inshallah, Monday, I'm going to do an interview with him. Because he's, you know, he's really, and this is a Christian preacher. And he read one of the quotes from the imam. And he said that, he said, your imam was really on it. He said he was really on it. You know, and it just made me feel good to hear him acknowledge and give the credit to Imam Muhammad. It was just a good feel. And I look forward to this interview Monday with him.
That's great. That's some great news, my brother. Now, what time is the interview, and how can we hear it? Do you have What type of, is it a local radio program, is it an internet radio program, or what?
I believe, now he said he does something with
YouTube. So there's something visual then. Well, what's the name of the person, Reverend? What's his name?
Exactly.
We could do a search on YouTube for his name and possibly, at least we can capture the video.
His name is Reverend.
What's that brother's
name? Jackson.
Reverend Jackson?
Yes.
Do you remember his first name?
Reverend Jackson, and he's from Plainfield, New Jersey.
Uh-huh. Okay, that sounds good. Well, you're on your way, and I envision you being on different TV programs, radio programs, and workshops, talking about the book, talking about the chamber, you know, commerce, and you're going to be pretty busy, inshallah. And so hope you're ready.
Yes, well, with help from brothers like you and brothers and sisters in the community, I feel that I'll be good and ready. You know, I have a lot of positive people that I talk to and I'm around. And, you know, I have faith in Allah, first and foremost.
Mm-hmm.
So whatever situation arrives, we'll deal with it, inshallah.
Okay. So the website for the book, Economic Resurrection, is www.economicresurrection.com. Can you tell me how much the book costs, and is it shipping and handling cost as well?
Yes. The book is $14.95, and we also produced a CD that for a limited time is going to be offered. It's going to be given with the book. And the shipping is $250. Right, we have a CD on economic healing, which is also deals with part of the resurrection from the book. And we're going to be giving a copy of that with the book, and it's at our free $10 value.
I was cut off, brother, for the last minute or so. So I just got back on. I don't know what happened, but can you repeat yourself in terms of the price and shipping and handling costs?
Okay. The price of the book is $14.95, and the shipping and handling is $2.50. So it's a total of $17.45.
Excellent. Okay, great. That's good. EconomicResurrection.com. And tell me now, let's switch over to the Muslim American Chamber of Commerce. Can you provide some updates on that particular activity?
Yes. We, as a matter of fact, you know, praise be to Allah, we just embarked on, we have 22 and we're just getting started, members now. And we're producing membership cards, which, as I think last week, I spoke on the fact that
we're going to offer discounts from different businesses that's involved with the Chamber of Commerce to the members of the Chamber of Commerce and their families. So, you know, we're getting, I spoke with Akbar Salam, and I believe he's going to be on board with it. My son, my daughter, they have appliance stores and furniture stores, they're on board. Brother that has the soup and sandwich shop, they're on board. We're working with a car dealer that we're trying to get on board. So it's going to be a list of people that if you patronize their particular business, you'll be able to get a discount just from being a member of the Chamber of Commerce. And I think I mentioned last week that we're also working on an insurance, a life insurance policy for the members that they would own. Right, and it's a small policy. I think it's $10,000. But you know, as I said, I've been to a few gymnasiums where they had to pass a bucket around because there was no insurance to bury the brother and sister. And I know, you know, one sister told me that well, you know, us Muslims, we're supposed to bury our own. And you know, I don't have a problem with that, but I feel like the burden of the expense should be taken care of beforehand. We all know we're gonna leave here, so things like that need to be put in place. So, because the family is usually grieving enough, and they shouldn't have to worry about where the money's gonna come from to put a loved one away. That's something else that we're going to offer from the chamber. And you can increase it, you know, as you want. And the broker is a Muslim brother from amongst our community. A lot of you may know him, Albert Shamsuddin out of New York. And, you know, he's been in the insurance business for years. And he's also a member of the Chamber of Commerce.
That's certainly excellent. And hopefully we can make teams in all across the nation in terms of taking care of our property. We don't know where it's going to go, but at least we can have it in legal documents. Or where it wants to go and how to handle it, along with the insurance, you know? Because I believe you read through that God says, you know, make sure you do a will. And, you know, and the community itself has had some problems with that ever since the man passed away. You know, big time problems in state battles and stuff like that. So we can see. A way to avoid potential trouble and fighting over your mother's or father's property once they go on to the next life, you know?
You're 100% right. And we need to stress the importance of having a will. You know, it tells you in the Quran, I mean, we should have a will. We should reduce it to paper. And that cuts down all of that. All of that. It takes the little short time that it takes to put a will together and have it documented so that you don't run into that problem.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
everything that happens
for a sign. And the imam was teaching us in life, and he taught us in his passing, you know, and I look at that as a lesson for all of us that we should have a will so that we don't leave, a situation where people don't know what they're supposed to get. I mean, Islamically, If you go through by the Quran as the Imam did, you know what each person is supposed to get. But it's just unfortunate a lot of times that the people that you leave behind don't pick up the Quran and deal with it on those terms. So the best way to deal with that is to reduce it to paper, put it in writing, have a legal will, and then you don't have to worry about it.
So true.
Okay, you on a conversation with purpose. You're listening to Haleem Qaddus, our brother Akhtab is here, and your brother, Khalid Abdullah Islam, is right here with you. And we're waiting on Dr. Jamal Rashid to call in. He'll be calling in another 30 minutes or so. Well. So we encourage you to join us on our social network, www.wearewiththeimam.com, where you stay informed, and you can inform us, too, what's going on in your neck of the woods. Ask questions, form groups, do a blog. It's just a wonderful way of communication. I love it. I tell you, I really do love it. And check it out for yourself at www.wearewiththeimam.com. Brother Akhtab.
Yes, sir, my brother.
What's happening in New York, my brother? Is there snow out there yet?
Well, there's the threat. Thank Allah, we've been spared a lot of mercy this winter. The last time we had snow was in October. It was so bad, my power got knocked out. Couldn't find a hotel for 2.5-hour drive. I had to go all the way to South Jersey. I said, I might as well just go on to Washington, D.C. on vacation. There was no room to be gotten. So since then, we've been spared, but it's supposed to be some snow coming this week. I think about 4 inches, they say, you know.
Okay.
But man has, you know, affected the environment so much that the weather itself, and Allah says one day, you know, the earth will be in a violent commotion, and the people will say, what is the matter with her? We done did so much that you got people that didn't have summer in the winter having summer in the winter. They're having winter in the summer. I went to Texas. I just got back from Texas Thursday. Got back Sunday. It was freezing, man. And that's not normal for Texas. You know, Texas is supposed to be kind of warm. Even in the winter, it should be like 60 degrees. And it was in the low 30s. So, the environment will speak to man, you know, if man doesn't treat it right, because Allah did make us the custodians of the earth, and it's our duty to keep everything in check. But unfortunately, with global warming and, you know, all these problems that be created, man-made, because Allah put it in the perfect order. But alhamdulillah, in time, we'll get it back in the order it should be in, but it takes the Khalifa in us to rise up, you know.
True. And, there's take that many people. And, a lot of times when I see some of the dreaded conditions around us, I'm speaking inside our community and outside our community at the same time, I'm reminded of the saying of the prophet where he was sharing that, I think it's an allegorical story, but he was saying that God chose the angel Gabriel, the creation. And Gabriel said, my Lord, what a beautiful creation. And how can anybody go wrong in an environment like this? And how Allah fast forward to the future where the devil, the Satan, put into the world his influences and attractions and allurements. And he showed it to Gabriel a second time. And Gabriel, exclaimed, oh, my Lord, how can anybody go straight in an environment like this? So we see this. So we see that some people have, first of all, life is about, it's a balance.
Mm-hmm.
And how a lot of
created everything in twos. So you say you got the heavenly or divine invitation to join, and you also have the worldly influence that's all in your face all the time. They invite you to do something that's against your nature, and sadly, we see a lot of people accepting behavior that just goes against their nature. One thing I think about is how I saw an article today. The article was claiming that homosexual parents do a better job of raising children than heterosexual parents. Yeah, who are you trying to kid, you know?
That's the plan, though. See, what Shaitan does, he disrupts the natural order of things. And it also says in the Quran that Shaitan is the one who makes their evil and sinful acts seem alluring to them. See, he makes everything twisted. So he just makes everybody artificial. I remember Imam Muhammad taught on that many years ago during the 70s. He taught about artificial humanism. That's what we have come to. We see people, they look human. They walk around, they got two legs, two arms, a head. They got eyes, a nose, and a mouth, and two ears. But they're not real human beings. It's like the movie Invasion of the Body Snatchers. People are being reproduced. That's a heavy sign in that movie. Now, the person has their husband, their wife there, but the next one, they said, Fred ain't the same anymore. There's something different about Fred. Now, he look exactly the same, but the essence of the person is not what we see with the physical eye. The essence of the person is what we see with that inner spiritual eye. That inner being is what we see. And what Shaitan is doing rapidly is that he's making people artificial. They are mass-producing pods. Just like Invasion of the Body Snatchers, people are being reduced from being human to being artificial human beings. That's why we eat artificial food. We like artificial flavoring. We like anything artificial because we have become artificial. Artificial humanism.
Unbelievable. Well, we can correct that. That's our mission, to correct that as best we can and with Allah's help. And, you know.
We got to.
That's
right. That's our mission. We didn't get Imam W.D. Muhammad, or him Elijah Muhammad and all that, so that we could sit around and just do dicker circles. We got a mission to teach the world, because as a people, we have been the ones who have been subjected to every evil, every flaw, every weakness that you can think of, whether it's drugs, alcohol, gambling, lust, sexual perversion, whatever it is, we have been the victims of it. Now, Allah in His mighty justice has taken all those weaknesses away from those who are oppressed and has put those on those who are once the oppressors, because that's how Allah does it. He takes the ones who put the evils on the people and He backfires it back on them. So now we're in a position now where we have to teach them. And like Halim was saying so beautifully, Honorable Elijah Muhammad taught us, you'll never be equal to the white man until you get equal knowledge. Well, unless he has the Quran, we have superior knowledge. Because we have the Quran, and we had a wonderful teacher, an illustrious teacher, an Imam Walid Muhammad, who gave us the best understanding of the Quran more than any other person on this planet. So we have the duty. It's binding on us to enlighten the masses, because they're good at heart, but Shaitan has taken that innocent heart and has taken that heart and used it against them. And now they're walking around with a foolish heart. Nat King Cole, he sung on that about a foolish heart. These folks got foolish hearts, so we just got to get them right. Because the prophet said, he said there's an organ in the body. If it's good, the whole body is good. If it is bad, the whole human being is bad. It is the human heart. So we got to get their hearts right again with Allah. It's simple. We can do it. Prophet Muhammad did it, and that's a sign. We can do it.
That's right. That's right. But, you know, Prophet Muhammad, he said, God directed him to say in the Quran, Anna Basharun was not Farron. And the Bashar is a good news bringer, but he's also a warner.
Right.
Warner.
Right, coming admonition.
So, it's a balance, you know. And Papa Muhammad was born in a society that could not establish itself. Major ignorance, major worldly influence on them, and major oppression, drug activity surrounding them, you know. And by the way, we have a brother, Raouf, online with us. So, Assalamu alaikum, Raouf.
Alaikum salam. I just joined in. I apologize. I'm late. I was in on a conference call with the Islamic Center regarding the upcoming banquet. But I really believe that this is a very important subject, and I'm just enjoying what you brothers have to say.
We want to talk about the banquet a little bit later on. Hold on, in a few minutes. But I want to share with you what I heard from Imam Muhammad, too. And he told a story. And he was sharing how his actions in this particular instance, where he is surrounded by people who don't mean the mission well, and how he handled it. It was a real lesson for me, in particular, a lesson for us to partake in. And I'm trying to get to that particular stance that he has personally. But he told a story. Even back in the day of Farad, where, you know, they were talking about black guys and the white people are devils and all that. So as Farad was speaking, he was interrupted by a big, dark complexion brother. And the brother said, wait a minute. Farad, you know, he said, you talking about the black people guys? He said, I'm blacker than you. How come I ain't in charge? And he went on to tell us that Farad didn't even bother answering. But then he fast forward to a story about sitting at the dinner table with the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, and one of the ministers was saying, yeah, you know, Elijah had a mansion at that time. And so he said, yeah, this is you got yours, when are we going to get ours, you know, when are we going to get mine? And he said his father didn't even bother to respond. And he went on ahead to say that in the earlier time, he just moved into this particular big house, and it was requested that a minister on the East Coast wanted to see the house. And he was allowed to see it, and he was saying that we didn't move in all the way in, but and how there was a behavior in the house that one of the boys, one of the sons, if they're in the house, they have to, and if the house had visitors, they're supposed to accompany the father all the time. So they walk in the basement, and this minister said that, hey, this is nice, man, you know, when are we going to get ours? When are we going to get mine? And he said that his father never, and Wallace was the one who accompanied him this particular time. He saw, he had first-hand knowledge of it. And he said, you know, his father didn't even bother answering in that regard. And then he shared on this particular lecture tape that he has people that don't mean him well. It's all around him at times. And how he knows that they're plots, how they don't want to get rid of him because they live off him. And so, but they're preparing for the day that he dies to take over with their selfish agendas. And he was saying he puts up with them because they contribute in some way for the movement to move forward. And as long as they do that, he ain't got no problem. And he said, I know how to use a hammer. It's just like you have a hammer to drive a nail in. I know how to put the hammer away. I know how to take the hammer out. He said, that's how I look at these people. And I'm listening to him. I said, wow, what a, because, you know, sometimes I got problems with people. And they might have an idea that I don't particularly like, or I don't feel is in the spirit of the direction we're going. But I don't mean I have to hate the whole person, you know. So, But the stance and the patience to I would say unethical and immoral people who are the pretenders around us, you know, still want to work. Going to pray for them to get out of that mess that they the misleading or miseducation that they have within their heads and within their souls. But I'm just saying that we got to give some guidance that he'll tell you. He said, "I'm not coming from myself. I'm coming from Scripture." He told us many times. His philosophy of how to deal with life and his problems, and the patience in dealing with things. It was just amazingly so beautiful. I can't thank God enough for Imam W.D. Muhammad. All right, that's my story I want to tell you. But, you know, in the Philadelphia Masjid, we call it the Philadelphia School and Masjid in West Philadelphia, there's been some news of some real physical fighting there, you know. And that's my beloved hometown. I was like, what the hell is going on here, you know. And I know some snakes there who's really promoting this friction, to regress the progress made since the removal of an imam who is now in the federal penitentiary. You know, he's very, very much an oppressor. So, you know, we were challenged by real big mountains. And the leadership and the programs and what's going on in our local masters, we know this. We're challenged by greedy people, you know, who mishandles money. I've heard a lot of stories. I want to share about that. But the thing is that if the good people don't stand up, the deformed people are ready, set, and go to take over. You know. And I believe that even within these foreign people, it's hammers to use, like the man said. You know, you just have to know how to take them out and pull them back away and keep moving to the goal. But that's my nephron, and that's the warning, you know. I love to talk about good news, bring good news, and we got a lot of good news tonight. You know, Jamal Rashid's coming on pretty soon, and Helene with the Economic Resurrection book, and with the Muslim American Chamber of Commerce, and we got our brother Raouf with the banquet coming, the third annual banquet out there in Maryland.
What part of Maryland is that in, Bo?
The Masjid, as I understand, is the Ali Khan Islamic Center. And I don't know if you knew Imam Ali Khan, wonderful brother, and his son and daughter. He raised a beautiful with his wife, Ophelia. So this was a... Raouf is there, he can tell you. Raouf?
Yes, sir.
Talk to us, brother. Give us a little history about the Masjid. And about the bank.
The Ali Khan Islamic Center is an affiliate of Number 4 Masjid Muhammad in Washington, D.C. It's an outgrowth of that community. We now have in the D.C. area, we have three masajid in the city that follow the tafsir of Imam W.D. Muhammad. May God bless him forever and place him in the highest station in the paradise. And we are working together to establish Islam. Now, the Ali Khan Islamic Center was formed as Masjid Taqwa and Noor under the leadership of Imam Daoud Mahdi and Imam Sultan M. Abdullah Imam Sultan is the Imam of the New Africa Community Center in Washington, D.C. And Imam Ali Khan was the last Imam of Taqwa Indoor. He passed away while he was in that position. And what we did was that we renamed the masjid in honor of his life dedication to religion. His son is an imam. His other son works in the masjid. His daughter is a Muslim entertainer. And his wife has been, at one time or another, the director or one of the chief members of the Sister Clara Muhammad Elementary School in Washington, D.C. So this is our third banquet, and what our aim is to build the first masjid from the ground up in Prince George's County, Maryland, which is the most affluent African-American county in the United States. And we want to establish the leadership of Imam W.D. Muhammad for the people in Prince George's County, where we have numerous mega churches, but no strong Muslim edifice. So we invite everyone, if you can't come, send $5 or whatever to support our efforts to establish this site here in the wilderness of North America. So hopefully that's going to give you a little background on what we are as a community. We're a small community, but we're dedicated. We believe in Allah, we follow the Prophet, and we are students of Imam W.D. Muhammad.
Alhamdulillah. And you're going to have your third banquet coming up, huh, pretty soon. Raul?
Yes, sir.
Your banquet. Tell us a little bit about the banquet coming up. What's the date and all that?
Okay, well, the banquet is on the 30th of March. Right now we are hoping, we haven't finalized, but we believe that Imam Yahya Abdullah will be the keynote speaker and will give the Juma. During the banquet, we are always trying to select a Muslim to honor for a lifetime achievement. We have not finalized our selection, but the banquet will be an entire weekend. The location of the banquet will be the place called the Newton White Mansion. It's located in the heart of Prince George's County on Enterprise Road, at Route, which is also known as Route 193. Friday, we'll have the Juma. Right now, we're planning on having a Juma at the United States Capitol. And after the Juma, we will have the banquet that same Friday evening, which is usually we have the banquet on Saturday. This year, Saturday will be devoted to youth empowerment in Islam, and business breakfast and some other. Our sensei in our masjid is Brother Cocker Passwood. He's a 9th degree black belt, several martial arts. So we're going to have a martial arts demonstration, and on Sunday we're going to have a Talim and Arabia. We are welcoming all the good people striving for, whether you be Muslim or not, come out and enjoy yourself, spend time in our community fellowshipping with us and supporting us in our goal to bring about human salvation. And that's pretty much it.
That sounds great to me. I'm the love. So we look forward to more information about the scheduling and costs and, you know, can't wait to promote it on the social network. Send me a flyer. Right? Now, I got some news about a guest next week on Wednesday on Conversation with Purpose. It's confirmed. that Brother Suleiman Salam and Charles Bowes of AfricanConnection.com, AfricanConnection.com, that gets you there. And they have conceived of a way to do business. I know Lean is speaking when I say business, to create a way to do business on the internet primarily, and people can put their products online and share networking amongst Muslims specifically, but the whole world. It's a global market now, and get you in touch. And they have contacted major suppliers like I'm thinking about entertainment right now, the computers and flat screen TVs, so you can purchase at a huge discount. And so anyway, we have the movers and shakers of AfricanConnection.com, and they're going to tell us all about it. And inshallah, God willing, next week. So we had a time, too, where, you know, you're on a conversation with purpose, and we want to hear from you. So all you have to do is press 1 on your phone. You have any questions, ask of Akhtab, Aline, Mahouf, myself, or any other subject. We hope you pretend to the subject at hand, we'll talk about tonight. But, you know, if you feel obligated, you want to share something else outside of what we spoke about, feel free to do so, because we're a community, and we want to advance. So just press number 1 on your phone, come on in and join the conversation. So, my brother Haleem. Are you there?
As-salamu alaykum.
Alaykum as-salam. Yeah, you got off for a minute, and then I saw your number come back on. I said, alhamdulillah, you made it back. So, did you hear it now?
Yes, I was listening. I was listening to part, I caught part of what Man Rauf was saying. Now, I just want to back up just a little bit. The program that he's having is this weekend?
No, it's in March.
Was it March? Okay.
Go ahead,
Rauf.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, it's going to be in the end of March, March 30th. And the tickets are $80 per seat. It's opportunity for us to fellowship, to raise some funds, to recognize some worthy believers, and then maybe inshallah we can also promote the book if we have the author in the house. We can come down here and have him do some book signing that weekend.
Allahu Akbar. That's good, because I was going to tell you I'm going to put it on my calendar, and I plan to attend.
Yeah, I would really like to talk to you about working together to help you come down and promote the book, get some Muslim bookstores, so we can do the same thing we did with the man behind the men.
Right, Mikhail Sahir.
Okay, alhamdulillah, that's good. Well, that'll be great. That'd be great. Greatly appreciate it.
Alhamdulillah.
By the way, we're going to try to get Imam Mikhail Sahir back on the program, too. And he has right now for African American History Month coming up, there's going to be a discount price to purchase his book. And that's a magnificent book, let me tell you. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad, The Man Behind the Men. It is fantastic. A book that took about 9, maybe 10 years for him to right out. So, yes, alhamdulillah. And he told me he had a great time down there, too, by the way. And how the people treated him good, and he really liked the time he spent down there. In the Washington, D.C., Maryland, Virginia area. You ready?
You there was a, and in the Muslim Journal, when he came here, we did an interview, a radio interview and a live interview, and so you'll see a little bit of my my living room in the photograph. That appeared in the Muslim Journal. So we had him over at my house, and we had the believers come out, and we did two interviews with him. It was really a, we had a wonderful time, and we'd like to do the same for any other Muslim authors that want to come out and meet the believers and share their product, the fruit of their soul, their intellect. We want to encourage our leaders to share what they have so they have a legacy. And
Imam
Muhammad wanted us.
Go ahead. I'm sorry, go ahead.
I'm just saying, the Imam, he came so that we would have a voice. And he wanted to empower us coming through intelligent reasoning. So if we don't get out here and achieve, we've let the Imam down.
We let ourselves down, you know. We let God down, too. You know? So there's many, but you know how. You know, say, this is a beautiful day. This is a great day. And he will see all these opportunities, but a lot of us miss out on because of the, I guess, the spirit or something bind us to seeing the reality of what we can do to achieve in this Brandon Tamworth culture. You know? And so anyway. But anyway, you know, we have our brother, our featured guest is here, and I'm going to bring him on in, Dr. Jamal Rashid. And just give me a couple seconds, and I'll turn on his mic. Assalamu alaikum, Jamal.
Wa alaikum assalam, Brother Khalil. How you feeling, brother?
I'm doing fine, alhamdulillah. You're on a conversation with a purpose. We have many...
Yes, I'd also like to extend my greetings to Brother Halim and Rauf.
So, my brother, what you been up to? How your activities, what have led to you giving any updates about what's going on?
Well, you know, I'm still in the Chicago area, in Gary, Indiana, in particular. You know, we are making progress amongst the difficulties that... that's within the society, within the culture, you know. You know, there are many problems with people economically, socially, emotionally, mentally, you know, as well as spiritually. So, you know, people are going through a challenge. If it's nothing else, it's a challenge to defeat, you know, these challenges so that we can make progress in establishing a wholesome life, as you know, has been related, you know, in the previous hour or the hour ahead of now, so that we can establish the model that can be seen, so people can begin to, you know, aspire to want change. You know, that's what President Barack Obama has been alluding to since he's, you know, since his not only presidency but his pre-election, his candidacy is change. You know, and obviously, you know, that is something that needs to take hold not only in the African American community and the Muslim community, but you know, throughout the world, because there are a lot of issues that need to be resolved. And I would like, you know, also that the panel, you know, feel free to ask me any questions that, you know, come to your mind. I don't want to just, you know, speak and not answer questions that you may have, that could be addressed in the few minutes that we have tonight to share with the audience.
Yeah, thank you. And we want to tell the audience, too, if you have a question of Dr. Jamal Rashid, please feel free to press them on your phone. We'll bring it in as soon as we can and have your inquiry answered. So, but I understand that you went to the first Sunday, the Mosque Cares. I saw a little YouTube presentation that you made, and that little clip, I recall you saying how we've been miseducated. And earlier in the book,
yeah.
I read to a saying of the prophet, a deeper prophet, where he showed the angel Gabriel the creation and how the creation is so. The angel would say, "Oh, so this is such a beautiful creation, my Lord. Now, how can anybody go wrong, you know, in it?" And how God fast forward the time, and within that time, the Shaitan put his influence in the environment, and showed it again to Gabriel, and Gabriel said, "Oh, my Lord, how can anybody go straight in an environment like this?" So we see the the economic calamities, our people being reported about buying $200 Jordan shoes, and killing people and hitting people just to buy shoes. And, they don't have no jobs, the education, the way people talk, the way people dress, the tattoos, the baggy pants, and, it's not a good indication of an established society.
Of the natural human being,
Right.
Of the natural human being. I heard, I don't know if it was Rauf or Halim earlier mentioning the artificial world or the, I forgot the exact term was used, but it dealt with artificiality.
Right.
That people are not real and have.
Hey, that was Octave. Right.
Huh?
That was Octave. Brother Octave, he was talking about how.
Yes, sir. Assalamu alaikum, believer.
Oh, wa alaikum assalam. I'm missing somebody, huh? Akhtar,
yeah,
right?
Alhamdulillah. That's okay.
Okay.
Grain of sand, brother, in the desert, trying to make my little contribution.
Okay. Well, I'm sorry for overlooking. I thought it was just the three of you and not four of you that was online. So my fault in that oversight. But you were speaking of artificiality, or I forget the term that you used.
Artificial humanism.
Artificial humanism. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
And obviously people, the imam has taught us that people are, words are people. And, he spoke of a language. And obviously the people have, we are what we eat. Those kinds of things come into mind when you find people have eating their diet, the diet that they have taken in mentally and socially as well as spiritually and emotionally is an artificial diet of a dysfunctional culture. And obviously they mimic what they have digested. And obviously those are the manipulations of a very subtle manipulative media in many aspects. That's a force, because my topic you were speaking of the first Sunday, my topic at that particular moment was recognizing the forces that shape our future. And obviously, you would say the force that should shape our future would be Allah. Alone, but obviously as human beings, we have the nature, or we were created to imitate or emulate influences, if you will. And we pattern, we don't do anything but become a part of, we are followers, in other words. Allah is the creator. But we also have been blessed or given the privilege to create. And that is, we can create our heaven or peace and prosperity. Or we, in contrast to that, since the Imam diligently taught us about the duality of creation, in reverse of that, we can create our hell or our demise, or self-destruction. And so we have that choice because that's the human nature is we the only creation that has the power of choice. And with that, since we do have the power of choice, we begin to, it's almost like being at a dining area where you choose your foods. And you have an opportunity to choose what you want to eat. For the most part, if you're not careful, you begin to end up choosing many of the wrong things because if you look at human nature again, what we are doing almost all the time is seeking pleasure while simultaneously we're trying to avoid pain. So with that emotion with the human being, we have a tendency to have an appetite for pleasure. That can be very dangerous because pleasure has a positive disposition, but it also has a negative disposition. So with us seeking pleasure, many times we are duped, hoodwinked, bamboozled, tricked, and conned to fall prey to the negative pleasurable forces. And that's what tie up many people. And when I say tie up, it incarcerates people emotionally, psychologically or mentally, spiritually as well. When you were referring to what I had mentioned about Jesus, I was referring to scripture when it can be just a soundbite, so to speak, when you have one word or one phrase that is not correct. And when I say not correct, it could be very harmful if people take in that as a directive meaning that that's what they pattern their lifestyle into or after. For example, born in sin. Obviously, we know the Quran speaks that we were born in excellence. We have the power to be excellent, or we have the ability or potentials to be excellent if we choose that road. Which road will you travel? Or in reverse to that, we could be lower than the low. And again, that goes back to what we do with our abilities to create. And so many people are in deep trouble, as we very well see in realities, because of their choices of what they are doing and not even sometimes not even being consciously aware of what you're doing in the aspect of what you are creating the harm for yourself, you know, under the disguise of pleasure. And so everybody wants to feel good, which is a natural effort or a natural phenomenon. It is to feel good, but if you're not cautious and careful and intelligent. Intelligent meaning not academically intelligent, but morally intelligent. So that's a new language of being morally intelligent where you use, for example, we should use the Quran as our criteria for all other forces. So that if it doesn't coincide with Quranic language or directives, then obviously we dismiss it as not a pleasant diet. And so, you know, it behooves us to really be conscious more than we are, and that includes me too, of what we are doing, because we are constantly feeding ourselves, and we are creating either something positive to be reckoned to enjoy, or we are creating something negative to have to deal with. And so again, you know, I don't want to just continuously speak. If you want, just interrupt me anytime to add on or address or ask a question or comment or criticize or something you don't agree with. You know, we can dialogue, we yield, and because I'm learning as we all are, And you know, I want to, you know, invite you all to join in this particular conversation that we are having right now.
Well, thank you, brother.
I
agree with you 100%, and I'm reminded of the last Savior's Day, the Imam Muhammad made a presentation of how he gave this concept of how Satan's word, I don't know if it's the right way he said it, but he said Satan runs ahead of God's word, and by the time God's word gets to you, you're used to this particular language, and how Satan's language, Satan's mode of behavior, and you listen to Satan more than you listen to what God has to say, because you don't understand what God has to say. You know, I thought it was amazing piece of instruction or revelation or telling about the problems that we have today, and it's so, you know, it's a fallen society that we do face, but within those societies are a few pockets of I would say righteousness, honesty, that moral certitude to want to advance and make the corrections. But yes, you know, now you know, the Quran says you don't fear, believers don't have any fear, nor do they grieve. And also God says that he doesn't want any difficulty on us, but he wants us to be pure. So we have, and it also says that man doesn't get anything unless he strives for it. So we do have an obligation, a duty, and a mission to strive for all that's right, to support what's right, to construct our own lives, to make our heaven right here on earth. You know, all that. So,
but no,
it's not.
And you know, if I can interject, you know, we as former enslaved Africans, we have a deficit to overcome, and that is what you alluded to earlier, is miseducation, where, I guess I'll go into that area, where we have been manipulated or fooled or conned to think that we're educated when, in actuality, you are not. Because I usually use in the language that when I write articles, that education is more and goes far beyond academics. But people have a vision only in academic arena and don't look at education holistically, that they are spiritual intelligence or moral intelligence, as well as emotional intelligence, social intelligence, political intelligence, or education, if you want to use intelligence or education simultaneously, there's parental for parents to know what they need to know to be good parents, because that's critical. Many people are suffering, if I can go in there, that for a minute, many people are suffering throughout their life because of bad directives that they got from a parent that had good intentions. You know, Martin Luther King, Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King said in his book, From Strength to Love, two of the most dangerous things in all the world are sincere ignorance and conscientious stupidity. And so many of our parents, out of sincerity, gave us a bad directive by telling us to get a good education, to get a good job. And what that did, it allowed many African Americans to strive to strive toward seeking an education, which they did diligently, and became very studious in the academic arena, and became very outstanding achievers in academics. But they were trained to go towards a job. And so what we have here, we have millions of educated, academically educated African Americans throughout the United States who are employees. And when they are when we are employees, and very few of us are entrepreneurs and business, then we have a serious problem with unemployment and underemployment. And that in itself creates all kinds of hell. When we're talking about we create hell or heaven, you know, just through not being in the business of the producing areas and the distribution areas of products and services, then we create a real problem for ourselves by many people having no opportunities to get, or very little opportunities to get a job, or they aren't underemployed. And then that creates a lot of social and emotional and spiritual problems because of the lack of empowerment economically. Yes, sir.
I'm just thinking about what you're saying, and it's so true. You know, the schools that you go to, the universities, the colleges, the schools that you go for higher education, they're there to prepare you for a job. Most of them get their endowment and their money from corporate America, and they come in and they pick out the best students because the school is there to prepare you for a job. My partner's son, he goes to Lehigh College. He's an engineering student, and he went to Turner Construction, which is a very large construction firm, to apply for a job. They took in 2,000 applicants for less than 100 jobs. So they get the best students from all over the country to come and apply for these jobs. The same thing like that gentleman, Zuckerman, that started Facebook.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
He started a company, and then he dropped out of school because he knew that he no longer needed that. As a matter of fact, he went back and took most of the top students out of the school to work for his company because, as you said, the school just prepared you for a job. If you're not grounded in with the concept of doing for self.
Exactly.
Uh-huh.
Which the honorable, if I can interject now, I would like for you to continue. But you know, the honorable Elijah Muhammad was noted for do for self, and he had an academically third grade education, but he was an economic giant.
No doubt.
With that sound bite, three words: do for self. Which our community, African-Americans in particular, and I would have to say Muslims as well, have not taken on that spirit of doing for ourselves. And that's because, we are former, we're still bound or entrapped or incarcerated in a slave mentality. In 2020.
I remember Imam W.D. Muhammad, may Allah bless him and give our great Imam a lofty place in paradise. He always used to preach that, you know, he said, working on a job will never get you there. He said, the reason why they call the whole concept of a paycheck is just that, because it keeps your pay in check.
Mm-hmm.
And when you work on a job, when you say J-O-B, J-O-B is an acronym really that just stands for just over broke. You will never get rich on a job. And it really hurts me to my heart that all these African Americans, as you were saying, dear good brother, they get all these degrees. They get a master's degree. They go right back to the same desk that they left when they had their bachelor's degree. So in my estimation, anyone who gets a degree beyond the 4 years of college and you get your master's, that is not a master's degree. It's a master's degree. There's a difference between a master's degree and a master's degree. You got a master's degree if you do a business. If you go back to the same desk, it's a master's degree.
I got you. Exactly. And that's a troublesome dilemma that we have created out of ignorance. And what Dr. Carl G. Woodson profoundly entitled the book, he didn't just come up with that title, Miseducation of the Negro, for no reason. He saw back then in the 20s, you know, that African Americans, for the most part, were miseducated. And until we recognize that real serious disease, and I call it a disease because it's just that. It's a crippling disease that has crippled us in every aspect of our life is because we are not economically empowered. And when we are not economically empowered, that makes us vulnerable. We don't own no institutions. We don't control no institutions. We don't own banks. We don't own credit unions. We don't own none of the international banking trades and anything else that we need to be doing with trades, especially in Africa and other parts of the country that we could be diligently trading with and producing. Then, you know, if we just are basically employees, then it really kills your spirit. You know, that's what employees. The end result, or when at the end of the day, the result of a person who's working for somebody else is it really kills their spirit, and it doesn't make them productive. It doesn't make them independent in the essence of loving themselves, and that's critical because we have a lot of self hatred and don't even know it. You know, because we are working for somebody else, hate to go to work. You know, you hear that often. I hate my job. I got to go to work, you know, and that kind of stuff. So, you know, in essence, the spirit is dead. And when the spirit is dead, it reflects off into the family. It reflects off into the community. And that's why we have many of the serious problems we have is because of some of the things that we're highlighting here in this one hour.
You know what, my brother? You know, and the fact that we are the biggest consumers out there. See, we consume everything. The little bit of money that we have, we don't keep. It's like you become the bookkeeper. You know, you get your pay, and instead of doing something useful with it, it just is dispersed all over the place because you're extended on credit to the guild. When you do get some money, it all goes out, so you don't see it anyway.
Yeah, well, you know, statistically, you know, we've been over a $700 billion market, but we're really that $700 billion-plus market for other people. And when it comes down to how much we actually turn back over into our community, the percentage is very embarrassing. You know, but they say 97% of the money that we make goes outside our community. So we're exporting jobs. You know, we're exporting, you know, our power outside of ourselves, where other ethnic groups, they do just the reverse. You know, and they work together. They do the kinds of things that Imam Muhammad was working towards getting us to be, was really, in essence, morally intelligent to the point where you know how to establish real life. You know, and that's what he diligently was working at for over 30-some years, was to get us to be morally intelligent, not emotionalized into consumerism, because that, you know, you're absolutely right. We are consumers, and in the essence of being ignorant consumers, where we find some artificiality. We bring up the artificial humanism again, where some people are seeking self-gratification or a sense of self-worth, which is emotional need. They are seeking a sense of self-worth through material accumulation. You know, so what I got on and what I got, you know, and that kind of foolishness. Versus, you know, establishing money in the sense that it's going to become, you know, turn over 12 times before we leave our community at least, where we don't have the young brothers in the hood, so to speak. We wouldn't have a hood. We have a real community, but, you know, speaking in that language, you know, you got brothers out there who opportunities are not in selling suits, per se, and other products that we use as consumers, but the only opportunity that we have been duped to sell is dope. And I say that in a way that we have been reduced to sell rock. And I don't know if I should say the word rock and cock, you know, because it rhymes. You know, and it's pretty much that a grown people, or when I say grown people, we're not grown at all, but the people have been duped to this degree that the only two things they think they can sell is dope and sex to in entrepreneurial realm. You know, and that is pathetic.
The animal existed.
We have to show the people what the imam gave us, the ones that can't.
Mm-hmm.
We have to help them to see that. And see,
yes.
He gave us balance. He gave us a balance in life. You know, when he came up with the CPC, a collective purchasing, that's come together, pool your resources, let's do something to benefit everyone. You know, and that concept, those type of concepts, you can take those concepts and you can change your economic picture. I look at, you know, it's stores around where I live at, and I look at the Dominicans, they come and they open up the grocery stores. And you may see five or six of them working in that grocery store. They may even live in the basement. But you give it 3 or 4 months, you'll see another grocery store. And you'll see another one pop up. So they learn to pool their resources and work together and then buy collectively and then branch out and establish their own territory. And we have to do the same thing. We got to wake up.
Yeah, and exactly. And like I said, we had that deficit to overcome, which is that the effects of slavery. And a lot of times people say, well, don't bring up the past. But I'm telling you that every time you go to a doctor, the first thing the doctor want to do is bring up the past, you know, as far as your medical history, in order to diagnose what's presently bothering you, and what could be your future as far as what diagnosis or what remedies could heal this illness, you know. But we are people who really don't, and it's not the same as having baggage, so to speak, or living in the past, but it's using the past scientifically and systematically to be able to figure out where problems lie in order to move forward, you know. And so we haven't come to grips with that yet, you know.
Well,
and a lot of people don't.
Do you agree that, I mean, we should constantly be working to improve ourselves? I mean, you have to die so that you can live. You have to take out the old so you can put in the new. You know, two things can't occupy the same space at the same time. So that negativity that's in you, you have to take that out in order to be able to develop the mind that it takes to take you out of economic slavery.
I agree that with that 100%, but I'm saying that we can't, it's living and dying. We definitely have to die out of things that's negative and no good in order to live, but you have to be like a physician to just analyze the past in order to recognize where the problems are without being in the past or using that as an excuse. I'm not saying that we can't use that as an excuse for our non-growth. But we have to recognize, for example, where certain things come from, you know. And you know, we are basically, you are your own history physically, I mean mentally. Whatever your life is right now, that's a history. Whatever you are, whatever we are, I should say, right now is the history of where we have traveled from birth. And so some of the defects that we have is what we have picked up along the way in our road, in our life. And I'm saying that culturally and as far as centuries, you know, generationally, you know, we pattern after previous generations. You know, children pick up after their parents, and their parents picked up after their parents, and go back a few centuries, and you're right in slavery. So, I'll go back a few generations, rather. You're right in slavery. So I'm saying that not to say that we got to linger in the past or that aspect, no way. But we have not scientifically gotten rid of the slave habits that for example, one slave habit that we still got is not working for self. You know, we were programmed for centuries to work for somebody else. We still doing it. So that's a slave habit right now. that we're talking about, that why we are hurting economically, is because we were programmed and shaped, if you will, mentally, and with force and scaredness and fear, being frightened to death that you better not think about being independent and working for yourself. You got sold, you got killed, or whatever it took to make you afraid to do that. And so a lot of things, if we go bit by bit, we can see that some of the same habits that we have right now that's keeping us down is a slave habit. So it's deeper than...
Well, brother, let me jump in for 1 second.
Because yes, sir.
I'm just thinking about myself. Now, from the teachings that I got from the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, I don't have that type of mentality. And I'm thinking of me as an individual, and I'm sure a lot of other people feel the same way. Now,
yes, sir. And I would say that obviously there are many of us like that, but for the most part, you know, we're 40-some million people, and a lot of us are not like you and I and a few of us are saying right now.
Oh, well, we have more economic dignity.
Imam Muhammad told me, he says, Haleem, he said, there's going to be a few of y'all. He said, but the few have to do it for the many. You know, so we have to, the ones of us can see it, have to be an example for the ones of those that don't see it.
Oh, I agree with that. That's why I'm not in conflict with. I'm not disagreeing with that. I know we have to set examples. Those who do see what needs to be done have to be the example setters.
And we have to, and like you said, we have to build things. We have to make establishments so people can see. You know, because our people are physical. You know, years ago, like we spoke on the program a couple weeks ago, we had your Steak and Take, your Cleaners, your Fish Market. Your people look forward to coming to the – our people look forward. They champion the Muslims as heroes because they come into your establishment, they were clean, they knew they would get service, and they loved it.
I agree with that wholeheartedly, and we need to continue that and make it even better and more. You know, but some of the things that we have to recognize, we got underminers right within our mix that don't want to see us progress. You know, and we have to face that reality that we have to deal with informants. You know, and when we don't have economic empowerment, then that, like I said, it makes so many people so vulnerable that they sell their soul in order to maybe in some cases stay out of jail, in some cases to get a little chicken bone, more of a chicken bone than what they would normally get. So a lot of people become underminers or informants that really undermine strong development. And so we have a history, too, of good community growth and good institutional growth in schools and et cetera, where even if we don't have a strong media, you know, the media would do damage with sound bites to make us feel unworthy or really destroy a good thing, you know, or make us dislike a good thing, you know, and a good thing may not get the publicity, which, you know, we have to establish media, and all that goes with economic empowerment. You know, the presidency and the election coming up now, you know, they're looking at billions of dollars as far as raising money in order to, you know, because they know that talks. And so we have over $700 billion, which was the same amount of money that it took President Barack Obama to try to jumpstart this economy when he bailed out the no good banks. You know, that was $700 billion that we got. But it wasn't, per se, our money, but that's just how much money it took to jumpstart the U.S. economy, so to speak, when the banks ripped the money and ran with it and dove across the people. You know, so I'm saying that.
It was our money because technically that was our money because the payback of it comes from us. It comes from our tax dollars.
Oh, I agree. I shouldn't have said that it wasn't. I mean, I didn't really mean that it wasn't our money when I said $700 billion. I'm saying I tried to kind of separate that, looking at our market versus the $700 billion that was used for that purpose. But yeah, they took us to. That was our money too.
And you know, and last week, let me just tell you, like we were talking last week about that, how you put your money in the bank, and they give you, I don't know where you're at, but where we're at, where I'm at, they give you 0.25% interest.
Mm-hmm.
They give you 25% of 1% interest on your money. But then when you go to borrow money from the bank, they charge you from 10% to 30%.
Well, you know, that's an example of the thugs in the streets. Instead of the thugs
right.
in the streets. You know, and that's moral corruption. You know, that's just highway robbery. But it's done to people who will continuously allow that to happen. You know, and you know, one of the things about being politically educated is that, you know, two of the things that just happened recently that shows how if people band together, they can stop these morally corrupt corporations was when Verizon's tried to do something as far as a fee, and this other Bank of America, I think, tried
right.
to raise a fee for stupidity. You know, when the people banded, that was political education. You know, where they
right.
banded together, just like Martin Luther King was very strong at doing. He wasn't no weak whip dreamer that the media tried to portray him as. You know, so, you know, again, the media does a real bad doing on people's minds and thinking on taking active roles as far as defeating Goliath, you know, and these so-called superpowers, which they are not, you know, because the power is within the masses. If the masses have their heads screwed on straight. But Satan works very hard and serious in keeping people's heads backwards. Just like the brothers wear their baseball caps to the side and backwards, and most people, if we could look at our heads, it ain't straight like Allah created if we really looked at the actions of what we do. We got our heads to the side and backwards, too, in many cases. So, you know, these are kind of reforms and renaissances that Imam Muhammad was really moving us towards, and we have to, like you all said, continue to carry that obligation to be an example setter and continuously have the shows that we have here and any other sources where we can reach more and more people. And the hard, hopefully, inshallah, the harder times get, the more and more audiences you would obtain, and the more solidarities we would get to really move and make some real inroads towards making some real changes in this corrupt and evil society.
Well, from my point of view, it's not going to last, and there's many, many scriptural references I can give you, and many, many directions that Imam Muhammad referred to. It's like, for instance, the story of the Hebrews in Egypt, where they were ordered to make bricks without
I agree.
Without straw, you know?
I agree.
And
with that.
And, you know, they were taken out by Moses and gave Moses a lot of trouble. You know, and argue amongst themselves and just couldn't get it together, you know. But God saved them, and we look at, we can see what they call the Hebrew people today, the nation of Israel. Imam Muhammad was claiming how much they achieved, they're the most achieving group in the world today that he knows of. And opposed to us, that we have all these problems, you know, in terms of what you described, in terms of the spiritual, the mental, and the educational aspects is lacking, and it shows in terms of the lack of businesses and all these other social problems that we do have. But again, all is not lost. The religion of Al-Islam
Now, I hope not to be sound pessimistic, you know, and with describing the social ills, but I'm just saying that these are some of the many things that we're going to have to address along with the natural changes that Allah is doing, you know, in restructuring this crooked world, because we know that is all within His power, but we also have some obligations on our parts. And that we could be busy doing in the meantime. You know,
well,
we just can't sit.
That leads me to share with you the book by Helene. It's called Economic Resurrection. And you go to www.economicresurrection.com and get that book, because that's one factor into regaining our economic dignity. What we're lacking right now.
And hopefully, inshallah, that's going to be a bestseller. In time, like many of our publications are going to be bestsellers in time, because it is needed. But again, that we have to become economically empowered to help each other. We have to become morally intelligent to help each other, and emotionally intelligent. You know, when I say emotional intelligence, I'm really spoken too much on that, but you know, just jealousy, envy, hatred, self-hatred, selfishness, you know, those kinds of weaknesses, you know, emotions can be your best friend or your worst enemy when you're looking at the duality again. So emotions is a good thing if it's used with moral intelligence, but unfortunately, you know, we strive for, you know, and many of us caught up in our passions. You know, what we hunger for, what we have an appetite for. And a lot of times, you know, the society will create an appetite for you, you know, and you would take on that appetite versus what is natural. You know, so it goes to artificial humanism again.
Let me just interject this thought, too. You know, a lot of times people let their ego take over. And, and you know, we started the Muslim American Chamber of Commerce. And one of the things I tell when we have meetings is to check your ego at the door.
Yes.
You know, check the ego at the door. And I heard the word ego broke down in acronyms, meaning to edge God out.
Mm.
You know, when you think it's all about you, and you're edging God out. And we have to, as you said, morally keep God and God's word into things, you know, when we're conducting business. Keep your business, as Imam Muhammad said in his book, the Business Climate book, make your business Muslim. You know, these are things we have to do. And the moral values are very, very important to being successful in business,
especially in this day and time. In fact, moral intelligence or moral education is the top of all the intelligence. For example, if you can be very studious and diligent with economics, but you could be morally corrupt, which I said the banks, when you said how we get nothing for the money that some people put in the bank versus the interest that they charge you, you know, that's because of moral corruption. That's economics, people who know economics, you know, and you know, how they can find loopholes and et cetera. You know, somebody running for president right now, you know, he's paying what the middle class will pay for taxes. You know, so that kind of moral corrupt mind that is, you know, hurting the whole world with economics, and so that's why the world will crumble in time, as you say, Colin. The world is going to crumble in this time because of moral corruption. You know, it has grown economically as a giant, but because of moral deficits or moral decay, it's going to crumble. And that has not just at this time; it's been history.
That's why we need an economic resurrection.
Exactly.
We need to really look at the economics, and we need to resurrect it the correct way.
Yes.
And God to save us from fire, you know. That's
right.
Directed from God. And
how
I remember a time being with Imam Muhammad. I wasn't there, but I heard this lecture where a brother, I don't think he was from our community, he was concerned so much about the injustice done to us as a people, racism, the economy, and the lack of jobs. And Imam replied to him and said, we don't have to worry about it, because if you, and this was during the time CPC was being explained to the people, he said, we take CPC where we want to go to, you know, their economy can fall, but we'll be standing strong, you know. So here we go. We have, again, to learn from mistakes that happened with CPC, and for the good people, the knowledgeable people, people of faith, to get together and straighten out this mess and join us. Let's do business and trade amongst ourselves. I hope you join us next week, because we have a brother, two brothers, and they formed what's called the African American Connection. com, and I've heard their plans for business. I think it's wonderful. I think it's something that we all should support. And as you bring, it's so important to bring forth, my brother Jamal, is that our mental and spiritual conditions sometimes block the way to having that abundant life that's promised to us by God. That through the prophet Jesus, he said, "I come to give you life, but not just any ordinary life. You came to give you life abundantly, you know." So,
yes.
So let me just share one more thing. A recent lesson from Imam Muhammad. He was saying how sometimes you just can't, no matter how much you care for a person or you want to see a person change from a negative behavior to a positive one, it's not up to you. It's up to God. You know, that's not our job. And I just remember how Allah told the prophet that your duty is just to proclaim the message. You know, so
Allah converts.
That's right. Well, Allah makes believers. So what I'm trying to say is that back to the Imam, he said sometimes you got to be strong enough to leave that person or situation. You know, it's a moral situation, it's a corrupt situation. You just got to leave it, pack up and go. And then,
because if you try to do too much, that's beyond your potentials or capabilities or whatever, you're going to go crazy.
Yeah, you're wasting your time. You're just spinning your wheels, you know?
Yeah.
So, I recall there's problems with oppressive leaders in our different local masters across the community. And years ago, I had a big problem with, I was living in Detroit, and I had a problem with this guy. Call himself Imam, and I said, I'm gonna tell Imam Muhammad about it, right? So Chicago being close to Detroit is easy to go, and so I went to Chicago and had an opportunity to say what I want to say to the Imam. It was in a group of people. First thing after Imam's man said, I don't hear any local masters' problems. I don't hear any local resident Imams' concerns or problems. I don't hear it, you know, like that, right?
Mm-hmm.
Boy, that knocked me off my feet. What is this? You know?
There are big problems right here in Chicago.
Right? Oh, big time, big time.
Yeah, big time.
We can solve it, but you have to be, again, I'm alluding to that, but the man says that you got to be strong enough to walk away, too. And that was his
recommendation.
Anyway, back to my Detroit situation. I said, how can he say that? You know, it was one. And it just reeled me out. I had to read the Quran, I had to read the life of the prophet, I had to pray, and do all three things again and again. I had to think, you know, what to do. And it finally came to me that Imam Muhammad was saying, you have to be responsible for everything, you know? That's what I believe is. You're responsible for everything. The election of your leaders, the progress of the community, you know, everything. So And it's a big job, no doubt about it. But that's how what I got.
Yeah, and you have to be, you have to stay balanced to know, you know, your capabilities and know who you're working with. And a lot,
yeah.
You just got a lot of problems. You know, I mean, you're dealing with a lot of sick people, and it's not their fault so much, but you can't become sick trying to heal them if they are unhealable for the moment. All you can do is drop
exactly.
a seed and keep on going.
Yep.
You know, and that's not being cold or nothing, but you got to drop the seed and keep on pushing. As Curtis Mayfield used to say.
And I
mean,
when you get to it, in terms of the solutions, whereas the United States always comes with a small group or a small amount of people to do the work for the many.
Yeah.
And I recall in one of the later first Sunday lectures of Imam Muhammad, he says, if you got three or four people together, be happy. I said, whoa, what? Three or four people? You don't think you can do anything. Can you make it? But you can. You can.
Yeah.
And then he refers to Margaret Mead statement.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's always the few, never the many. Always
right.
the few that got done. Always
right.
happen, always will happen. You know?
Right. That's why, you know, the group of you all and anybody else that is working continuously can never look at numbers as a sense of grading yourself as a failure. You know, no way. As long as you're on the same page and doing what you know is morally correct, and Allah will bless you with the few to improve upon the many when it's time. You know, so that's where the perseverance and the patience comes in. Because the Quran, you know, tells us that we have to be patient and perseverance as well, you know, in our duties or in our tasks or our obligations.
Yeah,
that's a prerequisite.
Well, there's a brother that Akhtar knows in New York. He's a Sabri brother. His brother's name is Hakeem Sabri. And on the internet, he shared a statement of Imam Muhammad that I'll never forget. Imam Muhammad said, you'll never see defeat in my face.
Mm-hmm.
Talk about some little words made an impact, made a great impact on me. You never see defeat in my face. That's what Imam said.
Yeah.
And that was true.
And we kind of make you wonder the experiences the Imam had to go through to really have that kind of faith in Allah, you know, that nobody will be able to turn him backwards. You know, where, as he said, you won't see defeat in his face. You know, so that had to be a special blessing that even Prophet Muhammad was given so that they would continuously be strong, steadfast, and never be looked upon as depressed or not in the best spirit, so to speak. You know, physical illness is one thing, but having a good spirit, upbeat spirit, is something totally different. You know, so you can be sick physically, and you know, age will take its toll in many cases. Obviously, on every human being, but to have that kind of spirit of a giant, of a strong warrior that doesn't won't accept the vocabulary of defeat, you know, that truly is a blessing from Allah.
And be humble about it too, you know.
Well, very
be
much
humble.
So. Yeah.
Okay.
So I kind of
right,
think
well,
that
look,
you know.
We got about 6 more minutes into the program.
Okay.
So just to keep that in mind, and so far I just thank Allah for you being on with us, Jamal, and all the other brothers, and to the program happy, yes, you know, I think it's just wonderful. And the point, we praise Allah that he would help us achieve the life that he wants us to achieve as a community, overcome all obstacles with shaitan, you know, and with envy and jealousy, anything that stands in our way for a righteous life. You know, we want, and you know, we were promised
that eventually the believers will win. So I have no doubt about that. It's just that you got to go through some, sometimes a sister, sometimes a brother, sometimes a situation. It's just so ugly, you know?
Right.
But we got to deal with it. We got to do it. We got to do it.
Yeah.
So I'm motivated. I know you are. Mal and Raul. Octave.
Right.
Let's do it. I'm alive.
Right, and I'll just, if I can, just share with the audience in a few minutes we have. You know, I do have a website, and I do still have many of my books left. People who have not gotten them or who would like to give it as a gift to someone, but then go to jamrashid.com, jamrashid.com, that's my website. And, you know, they can purchase books through there, or they can, you know, get the address to my P.O. box on the website as well. And of course, I'm available for all kinds of speaking engagements. Love to dialogue with people and have panel discussions. And, you know, I'm available for, in fact, I love doing that more than I love writing. Although, you know, that's what I've been blessed to do too. But I got to pick the pen back up and over the computer and start typing some more and get some articles in the Muslim Journal, because I have really neglected to do that lately. But, you know, I more or less like to work with, you know, good-minded and right-minded people to establish the kind of institutions that the Imam had started and the Honorable Elijah Muhammad had started as well, to really bring about the kind of beautiful life that we can enjoy in this lifetime. On this earth.
Well, you're a wonderful brother, and this is your second or maybe third time on a Conversation with a Purpose, and you know, I always wanted you to take a look at the social network we have at weoverseeman.name.com. It's a blog. You can do your own blog right there and share what you have, what God gave you to share with us. So.
Yeah, and you know, my strength mainly is in sociology. You know, I guess you all might have picked that up in my conversation tonight. I'm doing a lot of sociological talking.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where a lot has blessed me to be have my strength at. And that's where I constantly try to work with all the time is sociology. You know, and it's just problem and solutions and dealing with everything from a holistic point of view. And, you know, we can do this.
Yes, we can.
Yeah.
Yes, we can. And we see those potholes up ahead. You know, for me, I could see certain things. I believe Allah blessed me that sometimes other people don't see, and sometimes they get mad at me because I share with them what I see to watch out for a situation, and it kind of cracks me up about that. But definitely we don't want to regress. We want to advance, and we want to follow what God wants us to do, and don't get stuck in these traps. It's a hell of a force.
Right, and I think just the blessing of having blog radio and opportunities through what we're having now, you know, you do have a voice. Whereas before, you couldn't do. This is technology, you know, to the highest and to the best, where this can go worldwide.
Beautiful. It's beautiful.
You know, with no cost. You know, financially. So, you know, obviously, you know, we have opportunities and we just got to keep working at it. And the youth are so, you know, controlled, I would say, through technology in a negative way. But once they can be changed their thinking and become enlightened to use technology in the positive way, then it's going to be some real changes going about.
Yes.
But right now they're on Facebook for the foolishness,
yeah,
you know, and the gossip, you know,
yeah.
You know, fast fashion, foolishness, you know, that stuff that, you know, our generation is caught up into, you know, fast fashion, foolishness, gossip, food, sex, entertainment, gossip, and foolishness, you know, so that's where the minds are basically trained to be,
right.
You know, and that's a trap, or what I call the prison. Without walls.
Hey, my brother, you're right, and we're going to change it, inshallah, with God's help, and guidance will change all of that.
make the corrections where they need to be corrected, work together, loving each other, thriving together, prospering together. And
you know, a lot of times we if I can say this, you know, a lot of times we yawn when we say la ilaha illallah. I mean, a yawn comes, you know, and it would say that was Satan trying to keep you from saying la ilaha illallah. You know, and you, many times in prayer you won't yawn until you get to that point, or intend to yawn, or yawn might come up. So, you know, that is a powerful statement or saying, just to say la ilaha illallah. And what I'm trying to do now is to say it all the time, just like you saying, hey, you know, what's, you know, I didn't say what's up, but, you know, how people use phrases that are generally talked about in the society, because I try to tell my students that I teach that, you know, we, and everything is up, or what's happening, everything is happening. You know, we generally, we're trained to say nothing. You know, what's happening, nothing. You know, so, you know, the, you know, we're trained just like robots in so many ways that we just don't consciously think about. And we just go from day to day.
As soon as possible.
So I'm just saying consciously we need to be trained to say la ilaha illallah. Allah.
And understand what you're saying, too, you know. Not
oh, for sure. For sure.
You know? And then when we talk about business, don't be yawning. We're talking about advancing life, don't be, you know, half-stroking, you know, or half-stepping and short-stroking. That's a phrase of the street. You know, but be alive, you know? Come alive.
Yeah.
It's like how you lost a lot, you know, come lively to prayer, right?
You're right.
You have, come lively to cultivating your life.
All right.
And make those strong foundations where we need to be making.
Well, that's what we're about, is being like a farmer. You know, it's a good thing in West Africa before we were enslaved in America, many of our ancestors were farmers. You know, and that's a good occupation. You know, even with farmers in the South, which is a good occupation. You know, of doing for self straight from the earth. Versus being
well,
sorry, rich.
Brother,
and okay,
we
I know.
And but you know, I don't want to cut you off at all. But that's not my call.
I know, I know. But I appreciate the opportunity, and I look forward to being, you know, back as soon as I can, as soon as you allow me to be back.
Oh, no doubt, no doubt. So
yeah,
for Helene,
just let me know. You know, call me and, you know, we can set up a time and I'll be there. Inshallah.
Got your number, got your email, your website. So we got it. And also, you know, again, the social network, take a look at it and see what you can do on that.
Okay.
And I really believe it's a real treasure. It's a gift for us to feast on. Build it up with a lot of lectures, both audio and text of Imam Muhammad and the... A lot of good information, too.
And I also encourage everybody, if you haven't got Mubashir's books, you know, and have, you know, you have his articles, but he has his books out now, you know, to get pick
right.
up his copies. And like I said, we have all kinds of excellent authors, you know, that as well as the brother right here tonight with the economic, I don't have it in front of me, I'm not looking on the website. But the economic book, that's a deep book right there. And I haven't read it, you know, but I can tell just from the title, it's a need. So that's going to be a bestseller one day, inshallah.
We pray for that, too.
Yeah.
Okay, Helene, Raouf, Akhtab, we'll see you next week. And join us tomorrow at 8 o'clock p.m., where we'll play a lecture of Imam W.D. Muhammad. And just be enlightened. Take care. Assalamu alaikum. God bless.
Wa alaikum assalam, believer. Allahu akbar. Allahu akbar.